Our text this morning is Exodus 8:20 to the end of chapter 11. If you've been following along week after week, I think you know that we are looking at a very unique time in human history here in this passage. One of the ways that we know how unusual this is, this unique sort of intervention by God in human affairs. Not that he doesn't intervene all the time, except that it's with an exceptional amount of power and visible glory. One of the ways we know that this is unusual is in our passage, the Lord tells Moses, part of why I'm doing this is so that you will tell your children and your grandchildren. In other words, I'm not going to be doing plagues like this every generation. But every generation will need to learn about what happened in these days. So follow along as I read, starting at Exodus 8:20. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water, and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me, or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people and into your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall happen.' And the Lord did so. There came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses. Throughout all the land of Egypt, the land was ruined by the swarms of flies. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, 'Go, sacrifice to your God within the land.' But Moses said, 'It would not be right to do so, for the offerings we shall sacrifice to the Lord our God are an abomination to the Egyptians. If we sacrifice offerings abominable to the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not stone us? We must go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he tells us.' So Pharaoh said, 'I will let you go to sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you must not go very far away. Plead for me.' Then Moses said, 'Behold, I am going out from you, and I will plead with the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. Only let not Pharaoh cheat again by not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord.' So Moses went out from Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord. And the Lord did as Moses asked and removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained. But Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also and did not let the people go. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go into Pharaoh and say to him, "Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will fall with a very severe plague on your livestock that are in the field, the horses, the donkeys, the camels, the herds, and the flocks. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing of all that belongs to the people of Israel shall die.' And the Lord set a time, saying, 'Tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land.' And the next day the Lord did this thing. All the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one of the livestock of the people of Israel died. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, not one of the livestock of Israel was dead. But the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Take handfuls of soot from the kiln and let Moses throw them in the air in the sight of Pharaoh, It shall become fine dust over all the land of Egypt and become boils breaking out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. So they took soot from the kiln and stood before Pharaoh. And Moses threw it in the air, and it became boils breaking out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils came upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not listen to them, as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and present yourself before Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues on you yourself and on your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. For by now I could have put out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, and you would have been cut off from the earth. But for this purpose I have raised you up, to show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. You are still exalting yourself against my people and will not let them go. Behold, about this time tomorrow I will cause very heavy hail to fall, such as has never been in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Now therefore send, get your livestock and all that you have in the field into safe shelter, for every man and beast that is in the field and is not brought home will die when the hail falls on them. Then whoever feared the word of the Lord among all the servants of Pharaoh hurried his slaves and his livestock into the houses. But whoever did not pay attention to the word of the Lord left his slaves and his livestock in the field. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven so that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man and beast and every plant of the field in the land of Egypt. Then Moses stretched out his staff toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran down to the earth. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. There was hail and fire flashing continually in the midst of hail, very heavy hail, such as had never been in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. The hail struck down everything that was in the field in all the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And the hail struck down every plant of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the people of Israel were, was there no hail. Then Pharaoh sent and called Moses and Aaron and said to them, this time I have sinned. The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Plead with the Lord, for there has been enough of God's thunder and hail. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will stretch out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, so that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord God. The flax and the barley were struck down, for the barley was in the ear and the flax was in bud. But the wheat and the emmer were not struck down, for they are late in coming up. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and stretched out his hands to the Lord. And the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain no longer poured upon the earth. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet again and hardened his heart, he and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people of Israel go, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine among them, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and of your grandson how I have dealt harshly with the Egyptians and what signs I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. So Moses and Aaron went in to Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your country, and they shall cover the face of the land so that no one can see the land. And they shall eat what is left to you after the hail, and they shall eat every tree of yours that grows in the field, and they shall fill your houses and the houses of all your servants and of all the Egyptians, as neither your fathers nor your grandfathers have seen from the day they came on earth to this day." Then he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh's servants said to him, "How long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet understand that Egypt is ruined?" So Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh, and he said to them, "Go, serve the Lord your God." But which ones are to go? Moses said, "We will go with our young and our old. We will go with our sons and daughters and with our flocks and herds, for we must hold a feast to the Lord." But he said to them, "The Lord be with you if I ever let you and your little ones go. Look, you have some evil purpose in mind. No, go, the men among you, and serve the Lord, for that is what you are asking." And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, so that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every plant in the field, all that the hail has left." So Moses stretched out his staff over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. When it was morning, the east wind had brought the locusts. The locusts came up over all the land of Egypt and settled on the whole country of Egypt, such a dense swarm of locusts as had never been seen before, nor ever will be seen again. They covered the face of the whole land, so that the land was darkened, and they ate all the plants of the land and all the fruit of the trees that the hail had left. Not a green thing remained, neither tree nor plant of the field through all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh hastily called Moses and Aaron and said, "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore, forgive my sin, please, only this once, and plead with the Lord your God only to remove this death from me." So we went out from Pharaoh and pleaded with the Lord. And the Lord turned the wind into a very strong west wind, which lifted the locusts and drove them into the Red Sea. Not a single locust was left in all the country of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the people of Israel go. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward heaven so that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness to be felt." So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was pitch darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the people of Israel had light where they lived. Then Pharaoh called Moses and said, "Go, serve the Lord. Your little ones also may go with you. Only let your flocks and your herds remain behind." But Moses said, "You must also let us have sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also must go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind, for we must take of them to serve the Lord our God. And we do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there." But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, "Get away from me. Take care never to see my face again, for on the day you see my face, you shall die." Moses said, "As you say, I will not see your face again." The Lord said to Moses, "Yet one more plague I will bring upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will drive you away completely. Speak now in the hearing of the people that they ask every man of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor for silver and gold jewelry. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. So Moses said, "Thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out in the midst of Egypt, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle. There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there has never been nor ever will be again. But not a dog shall growl against any of the people of Israel, either man or beast, that you may know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. And all these your servants shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, 'Get out, you and all the people who follow you.' And after that I will go out." And he went out from Pharaoh in hot anger. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Pharaoh will not listen to you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt." Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the people of Israel go out of his land. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're grateful for this, your word, and we ask now that you would help us to understand this passage, to take it to heart, shape and change us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Human reason and human desire. Human reason and human desire. Both of those, human reason. God's given us brains to think about things. Human desire. We want certain things. We don't want certain things. No, nothing necessarily wrong with human reason, human desire. But when I ask the question, who is Pharaoh today? One of the answers to that question is Pharaoh today is the person whose human reasoning is not submitted to God. Pharaoh today is the person whose human desires are not submitted to God. Their human reasoning and their human desire has become their God in place of the true God. Last week we considered the first three plagues, and this week we have six plagues, number four, number five, number six, number seven, number eight, and number nine, and we're introduced to the tenth plague. And what we'll do now is simply go quickly through those six plagues, the introduction to the last one, and I'll make a few closing remarks at the end. So, the fourth plague. Imagine with me that you and I are standing near the Nile River, and here comes Pharaoh, as he often does for a morning dip, and yet his path is intercepted by Moses. Pharaoh rolls his eyes, and Moses says once again, "Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me." And two different things in that statement that irk Pharaoh. The one is the "my people." Pharaoh's thinking to himself, "No, they're my people." And the other is "that they may serve me." And Pharaoh's thinking, "No, I want them to serve me." And Moses says, if you don't let the people go, the Lord is going to fill your land with swarms, swarms of flies. And you know, there's something new this time. We've seen these first three plagues, the Nile turned to blood and the frogs and the gnats. But this time we're specifically told for the first time, and we'll be told several more times, that these swarms will hound the Egyptians and the Egyptians only, and God's people in Goshen will be spared these swarms completely. You and I are familiar with mosquitoes and house flies and all sorts of bugs and insects. But the word that gets emphasized here is this word swarms. They're everywhere, in your bed, in your food. You can't get away from them. I picture Pharaoh slapping the flies, the swarms away from him as he says to Moses and Aaron, All right, already. You can go. No, actually, that's not what he says. You can sacrifice, but here, you got to stay in the land, right? And Moses refuses this partial concession. No, we need to go 3 days in the wilderness. And so Pharaoh, just continuing to not know what to do with himself, says, All right. You can go in the wilderness, but not too far. And please pray for me. And Moses doesn't trust Pharaoh. He says, let not Pharaoh cheat us again. He says, you better not be lying. But Pharaoh is. It's a foxhole prayer, right? And once Pharaoh's out of the foxhole, he forgets that he made any promises whatsoever. It's not just that he's a liar, right? But his heart, the very deepest part of him, is covered, we might say, with calluses. Nothing can get through, nothing can penetrate. When we come to chapter 9 and the next plague, Moses gives the command, let my people go. He threatens a plague on the livestock of the Egyptians. The plagues up to this point, now when we're at the fifth plague, the plagues have all been a nuisance, but none of them so far have directly involved death. And so the plague on the livestock is the first one that involves death. Can you imagine going out into the fields and you see dead animals, far as the eye can see? Very disturbing. When chapter 9 and verse 6 says that all the Egyptian livestock died, that's either hyperbole, it's a purposeful exaggeration just in terms of trying to communicate how many died, or it is every single one of them died and Pharaoh subsequently acquired other livestock somehow. I say that because livestock show up in a few of the later plagues. Pharaoh, he can't actually believe the report that he hears that the Israelite livestock are untouched. And so he sends out scouts, sends out servants to go check it out. And they come back, yes, my lord, it's true. The plague did not touch any of the Egyptian livestock. And you would think that the logic would be, this is not random. It's not random that all the Egyptian livestock die and none of the Israelite livestock die. And you would think that the logic would be, oh, it really must be the God of Israel that's doing this. And if I want to spare my nation, I will do what the God of Israel says, and it will bring an end to all these plagues. But Pharaoh hardens his heart. And the text doesn't say this, but you can't help but wonder, does Pharaoh harden his heart because he hears about those living livestock and he thinks, I'll steal some of them to replenish my own supply? Again, the text doesn't explicitly say that, but it's a possibility. When we come to the sixth plague, you might imagine walking through a city in Egypt and noticing that everyone is agitated, everyone is upset, everyone is downcast, and the issue is that they're all covered with these painful boils that become blistering sores. And whereas we've had annoyances to the whole nation, and we've had death of animals, this is the first plague. The sixth plague is the first plague to directly attack human bodies. If you're reading this story for the very first time, imagine you've never heard this story. You don't know where it's going. You don't know how it's going to end. You might be hoping, I hope that Pharaoh says uncle at some point here. And then you read chapter 9 and verse 12, and it says, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. That had been predicted, but at chapter 9, verse 12, in the context of the sixth plague, it's actually the first time that we're explicitly told that that happens. The Lord hardens Pharaoh's heart. And if you're reading it for the first time, it strikes you like, whoa. This is God's judgment. Pharaoh's gone in so deep, I'm not sure he's ever going to be able to get out of this. When we come to chapter 9 and verse 13, we find ourselves at the seventh plague. This plague stands out from all the others in four different ways. Go through them quickly. First of all, God speaks to Pharaoh in a way that's very different from the way he's spoken any other time. Pharaoh, this is the Lord speaking. I'm going to aim my plagues at your heart. If you have the ESV at 9:14, you can see a footnote. That's what it says. I'm aiming these plagues at your heart, Pharaoh, your stubborn heart. Right? I could have wiped you out by now, but I've kept you here because I want the whole world to recognize who I am. And you are the most powerful leader in this day in the whole world. And so I'm trying to teach you so that the whole world can be crystal clear on who I am. Why, Pharaoh? Why are you still refusing? Second, this is the first time we get a plague where relief and shelter is offered to the Egyptians. It's quite remarkable. The Egyptians are told, if you bring your animals and slaves into shelter, they will not be harmed by the hail that's coming. And remarkably, we're told that some of Pharaoh's servants fear the Lord and do just that. Third, this plague is more devastating than any of the plagues before because this plague attacks Egypt's food supply. Egyptians did not eat much meat, we know. Egyptians tended to eat fish and grains. And so this one attacks their ability to eat. It's also the first plague to cause human death. You see that in 9:25, the slaves that were left out in the field. And then the fourth way that this plague is different than all that have come before is Pharaoh's response is quite different. I have sinned, he says. The Lord is in the right, and I am in the wrong. It's quite dramatic. Except that Moses doesn't trust him. Moses understands this to be another one of these foxhole prayers. And that is correct, according to 9:34. Once the Lord stopped the hail, we read that Pharaoh sinned again and hardened his own heart. The plague of the locusts, the eighth plague, here, twice, the question, how long, is put to Pharaoh. The Lord, this is 10 verse 3, the Lord cuts to the heart of the matter. Pharaoh, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Hello, Pharaoh, can't you see what's going on? And then, remarkably, Pharaoh's own officials ask essentially the same question. Pharaoh, how long are you going to let Moses hold our whole country hostage? Hello? Pharaoh responds, all right, already. They can go. Only one condition, the men only. Right? And Moses won't accept that condition. Pharaoh, of course, is thinking, if the men go, they're going to have to come back for their families, and I'll take a hold of them again. Now, by this time, the wheat and the emmer have come up, and the locusts finish off the devastation that the hail started. Nothing green left in Egypt, and now the food supply is completely done away with. Once again, Pharaoh, "I have sinned. Forgive my sin," he says, "just this once. I'll never do it again, I promise. Take this death away from me." And I don't think anyone should believe him anymore. But what really is key here is that it's now clear, by the time you get to the end of the eighth plague, Pharaoh has absolutely gone past the point of no return. There is no hope for Pharaoh anymore. He is fully and completely under God's judgment. From now on, what we read is God hardened his heart. He is fully under God's judgment for the sake of the final climax of this showdown. When we come to the ninth plague and chapter 10 and verse 21, something is missing. Do you know what's missing? There's no more, "Thus says the Lord, let my people go." God's not asking anymore, he's taking. And what must it have felt like to experience a supernatural darkness? A darkness that you can feel. Imagine yourself as one of the Egyptians. You don't know what's coming next. You don't know what this darkness means, but it can't be good. You don't realize that it's the calm before the storm, but you're not calm. This is ominous. So Pharaoh summons Moses. All right, already. You can go. But you have to leave your flocks and your herds behind. Well, Pharaoh, the whole point of this has been to go out and sacrifice. We have to take our flocks and herds. And at this point, the negotiations break down totally. Pharaoh is so blind, he imagines that he is in the position to be issuing threats. "If I ever see you again, I'll kill you." Moses says, "You won't see me again." You need to understand that chapter 11, verses 1 through 3 are an interlude giving us some background information that looks to the past and looks forward. Because when you pick it up at 11:4, Moses hasn't left Pharaoh's presence yet. "So one more thing I need to tell you." And so there it is that he tells him about the 10th plague. "Pharaoh, at midnight, every firstborn in Egypt will die." Moses is really in charge now. He leaves of his own accord. He's not cast out. He leaves. He turns and leaves in hot anger. It's a reflection of God's righteous anger. In Mark chapter 13, Jesus is talking about the promise that he will come again. But he says, "Before I come again, there will be a period of terrible persecution of the church and terrible, miraculous outpourings of judgment upon the whole world for its sin, a period of great distress and tribulation on the whole earth." When the Apostle John talks about that same period of great travail and trouble, this is Revelation chapter 8, Revelation 16. When the Apostle John talks about that future period of tribulation, he uses language from our Exodus text. He describes that great tribulation in terms of the 10 plagues. There will be frogs, and there will be locusts, and there will be hail mixed with fire, and there will be darkness, and it will be time, using language from our text, such as has never been seen before. In other words, what we've read today is going to happen again. That's what the scripture teaches. And instead of Pharaoh, the hard-hearted figure to be defeated, well, as first of all, as a character referred to in the book of Revelation, often called the beast, sometimes we use the word antichrist, But ultimately, the ultimate figure behind it all is Satan himself, who will be utterly defeated as Pharaoh was. That's looking forward to the climax of this great battle. And that battle is actually happening. Sometimes it just seems like it's behind the scenes, but that battle is happening today. And one of Satan's tactics in this battle is to encourage human beings to worship human reason over God, or to worship human desire over God. And so, whether it's how people think about the origins of the universe, how people think about diversity of religions on the earth, how people think about their own sense of identity or their own desires, think about marriage and sexuality, and just naming a few, and there's so many more, right? When people become enslaved to the idea that human reason is God or human desire is God, then they are enslaved to Satan, and they are liable to utter defeat. They don't even realize it. We see this anti-God arrogance all around us, but you and I need to acknowledge there's a bit of Pharaoh in every one of us as well. You know, there's this stereotype from before the time of GPS of a man driving his car somewhere he's never been before, and he refuses to ever get out and ask anyone for directions. And the question is, are you or I like that? Where is there pride and stubbornness inside of me, inside of you? Where is there arrogance and unteachableness in us? We need to be honest with ourselves and say, yeah, I'm going to pay attention to that, and by God's grace, put it to death so that I can walk away from that rather than having to experience God in judgment ridding me of it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we confess our own pride and arrogance. Help us to be soft of heart towards you, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.